13 to 21. You can find this on the church Bibles on page 1096. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God."
It'd be really useful if you could turn back to that passage in the Bible, Luke chapter 12. I think it's on page 1096. And as we look at that, I'm going to pray for us. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us. Please would you help us to listen and to understand this morning. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me read to you a few words from an essay with this title: The Greatest Man Who Ever Lived. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or a home. He didn't go to college. He never visited a big city. He never travelled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. And now that 2,000 years have come and gone, there is still no doubt, this writer says, that Jesus Christ was one of the greatest teachers the world has ever known. And we see in the accounts of his life in the Bible that when Jesus was teaching, people were astonished. They couldn't believe the authority with which he spoke. They marvelled at how the stories he told resonated with their own life and experience. And it's still true today. Jesus is an influential and inspirational teacher. And so as we come to this chunk in the Bible that we're looking at this morning, we find Jesus in the middle of a block of teaching. At the beginning of Luke chapter 12, if you've got your Bible, the word should be on the screen too, it says that many thousands of people had gathered together. In fact, it says that there were so many of them that they were jostling and trampling over each other to hear some of what Jesus was saying. He's covering various radical and pretty important topics. The power of God, God's infinite knowledge, judgment day, eternity, hell even, and the wonder of God's forgiveness. So when a bloke in the crowd shouts out and interrupts, it comes as a bit of a surprise. Have a look at verse 13 at the beginning of our passage. The man says this: "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." People were captivated as Jesus was teaching, apart from this guy. Think back to the Diamonds Jubilee weekend. Thousands of people gathered, millions watching on TV. The Queen's in the middle of delivering her speech. She's talking about what defines our age and the challenges we face, the values we need to hold to, and what will shape our future. Everybody's hushed as she addresses the nation. But then from somewhere near the front, a guy stands up and shouts, "Oi, Queenie, forget all that stuff. I've got some real issues. I've got a £70 parking fine here. Wasn't even on a yellow line. Then, to top it all off, the bin men left my recycling. Can you sort this out for me?" It's that sort of interruption that we've got here. The man stands up, butts in, and speaks to Jesus. And this interruption reveals something about what drives this character, doesn't it? Not only is it a very public setting to request help with your financial affairs, not only is Jesus in the middle of some fairly hefty teaching, but the man's asking about an inheritance. We're not told the details, but presumably there's been a death in the family. This man doesn't really care about being sensitive, though. His focus is on something else. And then it's not that his financial worries have to do with being treated badly by a harsh boss or something like that. In fact, it's tied up with a member of his family, his own brother. But he doesn't really care about that either. His focus is on something else. The very fact that this man cuts Jesus off tells us so much about what he's like. He's not really interested in listening to Jesus. What Jesus is discussing doesn't really matter to him. What really matters is money. And although Jesus refuses to intervene, although he responds, if you can see, by saying, "This isn't a problem that I'm going to solve. Who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" However, he does, now that this topic of money has come up, he does take the opportunity to talk about it. And so as we look at these verses, what we will see is that our attitude to money has consequences for all eternity. Can I encourage you this morning to really listen to what Jesus says? If you're facing financial pressure or money is a worry at the moment, please don't use that as an excuse to ignore Jesus. The stakes couldn't be higher. In fact, what we'll find is that what Jesus teaches about money brings freedom and peace. On the other hand, you may be thinking, hang on. Actually, money isn't really a source of stress for me. I've got a good job. I've got a nice house. My salary's fine. Life is good. Well, if that is you, you're exactly the sort of person that Jesus is speaking to this morning. So we're going to look at these verses in two parts. A warning that Jesus gives, followed by a story that he tells. So firstly, the warning. Here's the warning, verse 15. Beware of living for money. Beware of living for money. Just notice at the beginning of verse 15 what he says, or what Luke says. Then he said to them. Jesus is no longer directly addressing this man, but is speaking to the crowds that are gathered around him. He's not flustered or annoyed by being interrupted, but he uses the opportunity to address everybody. What he goes on to teach is relevant to all of them, to all of us this morning. And he starts by saying, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. It's almost like he's calling the people to battle, rallying the troops because there's a dangerous threat. Watch out. Stay alert. There's a deceitful foe, and it attacks when you're least expecting it. Be on your guard. Put precautions in place. Protect yourself. This enemy can cause great harm. Jesus is clearly being very serious. All kinds of greed, he says, is a deadly enemy. That desire that lurks within. That longing that we've all got for more. More than we already have. And Jesus says, just notice, that it's against all kinds of greed that we're to guard. Greed can rear its ugly head in any number of forms. I wonder, when you have those spare moments, a little bit of free time, what is it that your mind drifts towards? What do you want that you don't already have? A house with extra space? Another bedroom, a bigger garden, a car, the latest model, or something just a little bit more shiny, clothes, a new pair of jeans to match the new shoes, computers and gadgets. With technology continually moving on, there's always something new to want. the latest iPhone 5 has just been released. Our thoughts are often occupied and our time is often spent chasing possessions, things that we don't already have. Then again, it might not be possessions that you spend your time thinking about. It could be an exotic holiday, the perfect body, the next promotion, a dreamy relationship. What do you want that you don't already have? Maybe just at the end of each month we bemoan the fact that our bank account is now empty. A little bit more money is all we're really after. Not talking about millions. Surely Jesus telling us that we need to beware of greed is a bit extreme. But this is exactly the point. This issue that Jesus has identified, greed, goes under the radar. I don't think the man at the beginning of this passage would label himself as greedy. I don't think many of us here would label ourselves as greedy people. We probably don't even think we're at risk of being greedy. You see, it's one of those things that goes a bit unnoticed in our minds and our hearts. Our culture says, in all, when we ignore you, we thank you that Jesus came to go to the cross and there he won. He won a relationship that we can know you, that we can be forgiven and welcomed into your family. In fact, we can look forward to eternity. Father, if we've not trusted in Jesus, help us this morning to turn to him. And we pray in his name. Amen.